The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So my friend Danielle called me this morning to ask me why I've been using a British accent on the podcast, specifically.
What?
I don't know. She drinks. But I think specifically she accused me of using a British accent 2 weeks ago when we, on the Tom Brady installment, and we were talking about the fact that there are no bananas at the Hampton Inn. And she launched into this whole conversation with me, saying back to me the things that I was saying, but saying it with a British accent as though I had said it with a British accent. And I played it for her on the phone. And
yeah,
she kept saying,
yes, say,
British accent.
Like, I'm like, we do have it recorded, so we can listen back.
I played it for her. And she just said, yeah, that's a British accent. So what I think is
your friend needs serious mental care, is what
she needs analysis for sure. Yeah, I mean, like from head to toe, there's no doubt. But also I think that maybe she was going to England once and got on the wrong flight and ended up just flying to Piscataway, New Jersey. And
or like
she thinks this is the accent.
Yeah. Her flight got redirected and she just didn't know. She slept through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or she just had a meltdown and went to the bus instead of the airport and like woke up in Jersey or Staten Island. And he thinks that this is that a British accent.
Well,
it is not.
That's extremely unhinged. And I'm very concerned for your friend. First and foremost, like, it's just very concerning.
I'm laughing because I just wish I was there. She's now going to have to come on the show and defend herself. Stance. She's going to have to talk about me not having a British accent. She's going to have to admit it. There's just no, I don't know what she's talking about.
Which I'll welcome her with open arms.
She said, do you hear it? It's British. I'm like, that's not British. It's just gay. It's just gay affect.
So like,
it's not British.
I don't, and it's like, also, I don't hear it. It's my own voice. Like, no, I don't hear
right.
it. Like,
I have actually. Oh,
wait.
What?
Speaking of your voice, someone on the Instagram has told me that you sound exactly like their friend. And they're going to record their friend's voice and send it to us so we can listen to it.
Really?
Because they said that they've spent episodes now picturing you looking exactly like their friend, and I don't know what their friend looks like or anything, but and then like it took time and looking at your Instagram to like train their brain to like have it not be their friend.
Oh, that's
isn't
so
that crazy?
Interesting. Is their friend Kathleen Turner?
I think their friend's name is Kathleen Turner. No,
God, their friend's I would name. Fall.
Their friend's name is Harvey Fierstein. No, No, their friend is a man, as far as I know.
All right. But, well, good luck. But, 1 point for me.
Yeah. And speaking of, my mother did text me. I sent you the text. My mother did text
Your
me.
Your mother
said,
is. She might be right.
She said, Dominic's face does not match his voice at all.
It feels like an insult and a compliment. I'm only going to take the compliment version. Sure. And I have no follow-up questions at all. Speaking of falling, as some of you know, we do record these intros on Monday night for a Wednesday air. And as of Monday evening of this week, Elton John has fallen, apparently.
Adele
has fallen backstage. I don't know who the third fall will be, but these things do happen in threes. In fact, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous about the fall being like Justice Sotomayor Cher.
Judi Dench.
Oh God, please. I'm going
That'll
to volunteer.
Take you out. That'll take
I'm gonna,
you out.
I'm going to be the third
fall,
non-celebrity fall of the day. And I'll do this just so it doesn't happen to anyone else.
He's getting up. Oh, he's fallen. He's falling down. Dominic has just fallen off of his chair on purpose to save Judi Dench's life.
Chris. That's what you. Listeners, I actually did that, and I'm not in the physical shape of, say, a Martin Short where I could do a pratfall. So I have injured my tibia. My fibia and my clitia, obviously. However, isn't she a chef?
I have no idea.
Clitia's Kitchen. Am I thinking of something else?
It's Lydia's Kitchen.
Oh my goodness.
You're such an idiot.
Is Clitia an Italian name? I mean, it should be.
It is
I
now.
Bet if we went, if we now. Hiked through the mountains in Italy, we would find someone named
a Clitia.
Clitia. Anyway, all these people are seriously falling. This is not a joke. Elton John was taken to... someone goes to the hospital, by the way, in Monaco, they have to go to Princess Grace Hospital in Monaco. Yeah, so none of their injuries sound serious to me. No. Ever.
It's like, ow, my head hurts. Like, he's like...
I mean, he must have tripped. Adele fell backstage, but she has sciatica.
She had her sciatica acting up. But that's
Which I didn't
good.
Know. I no, she's very young for that. I'm sure.
I know.
Look, I'm sure she has pretty good health insurance. So, why are you speaking like Groucho Marx?
Is it because of the Ozempic?
What's Ozempic?
Stop.
I wish I had a bottle of pills to shake so I can pretend that I'm on it. Do you think that that's how she's maintaining?
I don't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They all are.
Right? I feel like she had... I mean, who knows? Who am I to say? Anyway, yeah, people are falling. It's
Elton
it's
John
good.
Probably tripped on a gown or a caftan. That's really the truth.
Oh, no.
I'm a caftan wearer as well, but I will tell you that it's really not the length of the caftan that makes it a problem wearing it around your home. It's the sleeves. The sleeves get caught on counters and doorknobs and all sorts of shit. I'm being as expert and real as I can with you about these caftans.
Okay.
That's the danger.
Two things. One, mm-hmm. we did not take a group photo of all of us in caftans at your home when I visited it. That's a regret. Just saying.
We didn't.
Number two, is the third fall going to be Britney Spears? Because I can't handle that.
Like a physical or like an emotional, societal
like
fall?
She's going to be spinning around doing her dances and then she's going to trip and fall.
It is a possibility. And by her dances, I assume you mean her dance. Like she just does that one thing that's psychotic. I don't know how to describe it. She's not well mentally, and I'm going to stop talking about her, even though I've already described her as psychotic, which is, it's 2023, and we can't be saying that about people, even people who are legitimately psychotic.
Okay, anyway, this wasn't a beat up on Britney Spears. Speaking of people that are psychotic, you have been texting me a lot from the treadmill. Like,
is that the case? The cross trainer. The cross trainer.
Oh, is that what it is? Because you're like, oh, I'm not in shape. I'm like, but you're getting there. Because every time I text you in the morning, you're like, I'm running. I'm exercising and I can't text.
Isn't exercise such like a 70s word too? I'm exercising. exercising. But I am. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, just give myself the best me I can before on the handful of years we all have left on this blue marble, Chris. No,
but truly, the handful.
I've now lost enough weight that I'm being accused of being on Ozempic, which is
feels
the
great,
greatest.
I'm sure, yeah.
It's like when I did this in my 30s and people were like, are you doing coke? And I was like, well, that was the reason then. But still, it's sort of the same sensation.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, hey, that's progress. If people think you're on Ozempic, that's great.
That is good, right? So I've lost probably at my max, which was really like a year plus ago at this point. It's been 20. It's like almost 40 pounds now. We're in like the 30.
Oh,
we've hit
wow.
the 35 zone from the beginning of last year. Yeah.
Okay.
Most of that since June. I just sort of, I don't know. I just started doing it, really.
Yeah.
But enough about me. Here's an article about me and you, Chris. Please go to the Fixing Famous People Instagram page where you'll get a link to a really wonderful article about Fixing Famous People, courtesy of Tink Media.
We were interviewed early on when we were creating the show about what the show, like just how we came up with it. And we storied, you know, click-clack those keys, and we just, you know, gave an interview that has blown people right out of the water, by the way.
I mean, everyone's talking about it. Clive Barnes from the New York Post said, and I quote, those faggots are arrogant and they love to talk about themselves. To me, that's 5 stars.
And that is 5 stars to me as well. Jess Rothschild shared a clip of it and just very giving us high praise on, you know, the affordability of podcasts.
Uh-huh. I love Jess Rothschild. She also texted me today. She was happy that I was quoted in the article as saying that I think the word bravo should be a gender. So that was a highlight. And I stand by that, actually. And by the way, it's not an article. It's a Q&A, which is infinitely more fun to read. Do people do articles anymore?
I don't know.
The last article I read was that giant profile in The Atlantic about Chris Licht, who used to run CNN. And it was good, but it was very long. And then I was going to... I got an alert from The New Yorker that they had a 900-page article about David Zaslav, the television executive. And
saying
I read the first...
What? Like saying what?
But this was it. Not only was it saying what, it was one of those articles where the very clever, I believe you call the writer of an article an articlist. The articlist was started off talking about right. David Zaslav's house. But are you stopping me at articlist? Is that not what they're referred to as?
I just thought about Clydia.
I wonder if we could find an articlist to do an article about Clydia.
Clydia.
I had no idea when we started this podcast that the cli sound would take over
our lives.
Like completely.
Oh, speaking of clits, fucking the New York Times cooking. The New York Times cooking literally put out a thing being like, do you want to make a Long Island iced tea? Here's
they
all
know.
The steps.
Like, they're kidding me. They know we're doing a Long Island iced tea for the holidays, and they are jumping on it. They're jumping
like mad.
On the bandwagon.
Okay, anyway, I interrupted you. Go back to David Zaslav. Please don't cut any of this.
I can't remember what I was saying. Cut all of it out. Oh, because the articlist started out this article about David Zaslav, but didn't mention David Zaslav for the first 6 paragraphs. It was like about the history of the house that David Zaslav, and you know, I'm sure that there was a callback or a through line or why they were talking about it. But honestly, by the time they mentioned the subject of the article, I needed a haircut. It had been too long. I'm like, why am I here?
That's P.S. a Malcolm Gladwell like signature thing. So like, I'm sure it wasn't Malcolm Gladwell that was writing that. So like person needs to go fuck themselves.
It felt that style of writing to me, I think is... It feels dated for some reason.
Well, I mean,
Yeah. I mean, it is the New Yorker, and that's what the New Yorker does. Oh, but even for the New Yorker,
was it Malcolm Gladwell?
Oh God, have I insulted Malcolm Gladwell?
No, but like then it makes perfect sense.
Hang on, let me look. By the way, guys, this week's episode is sponsored by the New Yorker.
6 days ago, David Zaslav, Hollywood antihero.
Yeah, that's probably it.
No, it is not by Malcolm Gladwell. However, it is in the New Yorker, so it might as well be by Malcolm Gladwell.
It's just a long article. I don't know how it ends. Well, it ends with him running all of entertainment, which I know that part of it. But it took way too long to get there. Oh, it made Oppenheimer look like a trailer. Like it was just this article.
But that's what I'm saying. Who has the time to read an article anymore? Like something like this, like something not like what we read on our show. That's like,
right.
You know, reality blurb saying that like Adele has sciatica. Like that's, we can read that. But like, who has the time to read?
Well, that's all. By the way, speaking of magazines, which is still a great word to say, by the way, even if they're like an outdated form of media, anymore. Magazine, people.com, People of course was once and probably still is a magazine, but that's how we find out about all these celebrities falling, is that our friend Rebecca keeps getting alerts from people.com. They like, do births, deaths, and falls at People. Those are the three moneymakers.
It's so weird. It's like it doesn't make any sense, but I guess like if they're going to the hospital, like sure, but like still.
Joe Biden falls a lot. Like, I think he falls enough now that people don't even report it anymore. But when he falls, because it happens every time he gets out of a chair.
But I'm not surprised about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is, I don't need to hear, I guess I am surprised that Adele fell down. Like, and was needed to be, wasn't it like they peeled me off the floor? Isn't that?
That sounds very dramatic. That sounds like something that the writer and singer of Hello would say as a way to get up from the floor.
Oh, people are falling. You fell, so you broke the curse. I mean,
hopefully.
We're jabbing away as if we don't have the behemoth of all behemoths just staring us in the face.
This is the most requested subject for us to fix in the very short history of this podcast. This is the one, Chris, that's going to win us the podcast Oscar, which I do believe are called the Poscars, if I'm not mistaken.
In your fantasy world, absolutely.
And the Posker goes to?
And the Poster goes. Who? Okay, wait, really quickly. What would we do? Like, okay, let's say we win a Posker.
Right.
What would we even do? What would we even say? Like, think of us running up there. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, what would we even, you don't have to give your speech, but like, would it be funny? I feel like we would be funny.
Yeah, of course it would be funny. What would we, first of all, we'd be in matching outfits. I will insist on that at any award show.
Yes, correct.
Our partners.
Would be in matching outfits of the two of them.
They should be in their own matching outfits, yes.
Not with us, but with each other.
Wearing t-shirts that say, save me or something like that. But we would be separate.
No, they should have, we would be in like suits and then they would be in suits, but you turn around and it's like, there's no back. Do you know what I mean?
Like the back. Oh, like a Celine Dion tuxedo. Yes.
A backless tuxedo. Yes. I think they could do that.
I would get up there and I would read off slowly the names of every celebrity that we fixed on the show. And then I would say, you're welcome. And then I would most likely make a fart noise and then walk off stage because I want to keep it as professional as I'm capable of. And that's it.
And then we would thank Goop at the very end. Goop would be the last one. And thank you, Gwyneth Paltrow. Thank you so much.
This is what we should do. I will list all the names and say you're welcome. And then you come on and say, and also starring Goop, we wish you well. Where's Shelley? That's it.
Oh, so true. We have to end our thing with Where's Shelley?
Yep.
And then the Scientologists come after us.
Yep. And that's how that's what season two is all about. It's like the Leah Remini show, but like gayer and with lies in it. We'll just make up shit. Because we need the violence of Scientology as a PR tool. Like I need them to show up outside my house so I can make a TikTok about it and more people will listen to us and buy our Long Island iced teas.
Well, speaking of making up shit, I think we should get to our client.
The biggest client yet.
All right. We have a task on our hands. This is not easy. And it's what? It's, I don't know why you're laughing. It's not easy.
I don't know. I'm laughing because that's how I deal with trauma, and I'm traumatized by what we're talking about today.
I don't even know what to say. Let's introduce our guest.
Please, please
do. You know her as the real Mrs. Petty. Her name is Shanaz Petty. She's one of the cookies. She is so fucking funny. I am so excited to have her on the show because she had takes on, we watched Selling Sunset together, and her takes on Selling Sunset were making me pee my pants. I cannot wait to hear what she has to say about the show. I love her so much. Shanaz, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am so honored to be here to talk about this show. Should we call it a show?
Oh, it's a show. I think it's a show. It is a show.
And I'm ready to get into it. Like Miranda wearing that giant strap on for Che. I am ready to tear the show a new asshole.
We are talking about, and just like that, season two. Although we'll be talking about season one as well. It is the Sex and the City spinoff, which is, in a word, polarizing. It is absolutely polarizing.
I don't,
Chris, we were going to divide this up, but I don't know. We ran out of time, but this discussion could go all over the place because there are a lot of facets to the show that need attention. Shanaz, you are our guest. Where would you like to start?
The question I keep asking myself is, why is the show not good? Like, what is making this show? Just something is not good, and I can't.
Something's not right. Something's not right.
It's not, the milk is not clean. Something's not hitting. And
you know why I think you think that too? Is because there are moments, and there were moments in the finale last week where it was like, oh, there's Sex and the City. There were like these fleeting moments when you're like, oh, that's what I spent all those years talking about, but then it goes away as quickly as it approaches. Glimmers. It just goes away.
Yeah, there's this glimmers. The there's like so many good. There's so such. There's so it's making me like, it's, I can't even talk. I can't.
This is how we all feel because it's like you. It's you. You're right there. Like you've set so this up close. Perfectly. This is the problem. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. I have now rewatched season two in its entirety. When I tell you, from watching the finale to then going back to episode one of the second season, that it is two different television shows. It is so wild going back and rewatching it from the beginning, because at the beginning, it feels like it is so grounded compared to the fucking circus that it becomes at the end of the season.
Right. The finale to me had more aspects of Sex in the City than most of the other episodes did. Like I felt like I was watching like glimmers more of the old show, and the finale was the episode I disliked the least probably of every episode in season two.
Is it because of Samantha, do you think?
No,
not at
it
all.
To the underperformance of the year to me. Happy to see her was not even one millimeter more or less than what I expected it to be when I read about it.
No, I knew that's exactly what it would be. Her on the phone.
It was exactly what we thought. And I didn't believe people from the production when they were like, you know, we didn't really want people to find out. I think it sucks that people did find out, because I think it would have been I think people would have appreciated it more if it had remained a secret. And I think the press would have been different. The press leading up to it obviously would have been, you know, cut in half without mentioning.
I think they were like here. Like
I don't believe it. I don't believe it all. I don't believe it at all that they didn't want it. They dangled that in front of us, and they dangled Aiden in front of us, and they dangled all these other people in front of us season one. I don't believe it for one fucking second. And we don't even need to get into this, but like that's a part of the problem that I am fixing, is that this show just keeps being like, but just wait until this person comes back and you see this part. That's a humongous problem in the show. Mm-hmm. This is why we're so frustrated, and this is why. I've rewatched it. I've paid really close attention to the way that they conduct their stories. I'm going to do a blanket apology right now for how fucking awful I'm about to be to the writers of this television show.
Okay. Wow.
Because I am sparing no one's feelings, and I'm speaking without any censorship. They take so much time to set up a storyline, and then when it's time to then have the climax or the turn of that story where the person learns the lesson or the thing that you're setting up for the entire episode to happen happens, it is so poorly written and dealt with. And you just, the entire show is them putting all these building blocks together very haphazardly and, in my opinion, very lazy. And then every single, not one storyline in the entire show pays off. Not one. Not one storyline in the show pays off correctly. That is why this show needs to be fixed, period. And like, from the ground up needs to be fixed.
Michael Patrick King loves a montage, okay? And some of the great television moments of the 90s and aughts were those Sex and the City montages. They made you want to call your friends. They made you want to drink. They made, you know, it also aired during a time in New York when New York was a little more, what's a nice way to say it? What you want New York to be. You know what I mean? Like, it was a little more aspirational and not so criminal at that point. It was like a nicer place to hang out. And there would always be montages about friends and they're in different New York places. And it was, you wanted to be a part of it. There are still montages in And Just Like That. There are these sex montages where they open or end the episodes. Let me just tell you, what I don't need from this television program is an X-rated version of Cocoon. I will not tolerate this again. Carrie's knees at her ears, and Aiden, I'm watching Wilford Brimley and Jessica Tandy is what I'm looking at. I was like, stop. Stop. Yes. It's so
the tight.
Every, it's like real sex. It's like real
this
sex.
This is the thing. The sex on Sex and the City felt real. The sex in And Just Like That feels somehow gratuitous in a show that basically has sex in the title. It's so just not careless, but it's just so like, here, look, they're still hot, even though they're older. Well, sure, but I could read that. Like, do something better with them.
Yeah, and some of the sex, like in Sex and the City, was also funny, had like a funny angle
like
to it,
or
something
it,
real, like when the guy that was going down on Miranda and then comes back up with all of, on, you know, all of her on his face, and then it was just like wanted a kiss, and she was like, ugh, like, you know, stuff like that has kind of happened.
Maybe. Well, and they're like navigating sexuality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like navigating sex, like what is sex? You know what I mean? Like,
and like
it's
we
not
said, there's
like,
glimmers. Like there's glimmers of that because Charlotte with Harry, and he couldn't like ejaculate. It didn't come out. And that was kind of a storyline. That was something like, okay, maybe that happens as you get older and like these things. But like I said, it's just a glimmer. It's just one little scene. I want more. Like, give me more. You're just giving me just these crumbs. That's what it should be called. Yeah. And just like crumbs. It's like just giving you these crumbs and that's it. You're not getting
the intent. The intent is there, but it's not like that Miranda scene you just mentioned. There's no, they don't have the clincher details that the old series did. They don't have that now. It's like they are, and this is really to both of your points, they are setting up so much stuff, but when there's an attempt at a payoff, it just feels weaker.
It's terrible.
The reason we care is because we love the old show. I mean, yes, we're just some, you know, nasty gay guys with a guest talking about people much more talented than us. That's the mission statement of the show.
Are they? Wait, hold on. Are they?
Oh, that's a slam. Right.
Dominic, I'm serious. Are they?
Who?
It's terrible.
The people
how
that
bad they are at writing this show. It's a crime.
I want to say something positive at this moment.
Okay.
This show inspires me to write fan fiction. Like this show is inspiring future writers because they want to write something better. Than what's happening in the show.
That is hilarious. My positive moment is going to be controversial, or as the Brits say, controversial. I don't actually think they say it that way, but
they absolutely don't. But keep going.
I can't believe I'm going to say this sentence, and I'm basing it almost entirely on all season, but certainly the finale. I think that Kristen Davis should be nominated for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actress.
She's the best one in the show.
You agree with me?
She's the best one on the show.
I am shocked that you agree with me, number one. B, I'm happy you agree with me because she is delivering in a way that I don't think I appreciated in Sex and the City. And when she was hungover in the finale and started yelling at her husband about, you think you're doing everything and you're actually doing nothing, she was truly responding like Charlotte, angry and hungover. Like she was doing it. Like, and yes. I guess it was perfect. Like she was sort of letter perfect in that particular scene for me. And then I just started noticing, because I also rewatched a couple of episodes, that she was nailing it, and just nailing it in sort of a different way than I'd appreciated before. And if anyone's getting a nomination acting wise, she's probably the only one.
They won't be, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, totally not. Totally.
Having
not.
Charlotte go back to work, yes. Going back to what she loved, was one of the smartest decisions that they made for her character. Absolutely, I think.
I agree.
Speaking of whenever she's hungover, one of my notes about Charlotte is Charlotte coming home drunk is a perfect scene.
Wow. Yeah. It's a good note.
Perfect scene. She comes home, she's wasted. Her family is like in ruins. They're like, what happened? And she's like, this is exactly what I said was going to happen. And you guys, it really truly is maybe the only real storyline that paid off. This is exactly what I said was going to happen. And you all are in shambles because I decided to get fucked up. And then they were like, where's your phone? And she's like, I threw it in a thing of margaritas. And then she's obliterated drunk. It was beautiful. I loved it. Hilarious.
She was great. She was really great. This whole season, I think she was great. But that particular scene, she was her moment.
Speaking of like Charlotte, like here's the thing. Charlotte, again, should have gone on Ozempic for that to get into the dress. Would have been hilarious. And then here's where they tried to, this is what the storyline payoff was. She's so worried about going back to work. She wants to fit into this dress. It does not fit her. She tries on 75 things of shapewear to like look really skinny because she's nervous that the skinny bitches at the gallery are going to say that she's a fat old lady.
Right.
She goes into the gallery. She sees the two skinny bitches and she's like, fuck, they're like artsy and cool. And like, I'm old and like, fuck.
Right.
Then she sees the manager, whoever she is this woman who just happens to be fat. And then Charlotte's like, I don't need to look skinny anymore because fat people exist.
She's never seen one in her entire life. She's never seen an overweight woman or a fat woman in her entire life. So she needed to. Like,
That is the climax of the scene. She then goes into the restroom and takes off her Spanx and then throws them in the garbage and then turns around and like pulls one little part of it and just like might have a little bit and puts it in her purse and goes off. That is the culmination of that story, which is her main conflict through the entire episode. She sees a fat person and it makes her feel better about herself. And so then all is right with the world. That's what we're getting on this television show.
Let's talk about Che. Che Diaz.
I knew it was coming.
I'm sure that you have a Shakespearean length monologue about Che Diaz that you've been practicing since episode one of season one. I, as you know, only started paying attention this year. I didn't really watch last year's too much. I was prepared to absolutely loathe Che Diaz with every...
I'm so glad you're saying this.
With every fiber of my being, but I just don't. I don't hate her. What I hate...
They...
What I hate about the character, see, I had no pronouns there. This is what people my age are doing now. We're just objectifying everyone. That's a trick. You're welcome, boomers. What they were lacking as a comic, the comedy wasn't funny. That was the issue, was that there's not a world where a Che Diaz performs more than once anywhere. Because every stand-up set that they did was just not funny.
It was just terrible.
I mean, that was what I was watching. It's like, at least change the style of the right. Like, it just was so bad. It was so cringy for me to just see her on stage. But the character, I know this person, to be honest with you. I know several of them, and not 100%. Just because, sorry, they are the character that I would be mistaken for on the street of any of them on the show.
Like.
My physical resemblance to Chaney
the one with the haircut that you have the most.
Yeah, we have the same build, the same haircut, the same attitude. I am Che Diaz, basically. I hope that my comedy is a little bit funnier, but
you are
but
not Che Diaz. Do not.
I love the I love the character. I don't want to go. Thank you, Chanel. Okay. I appreciate
Chris
that.
Is like, yes.
Because let's face it, I am infinitely more feminine than both Che Diaz and Sara Ramirez, who plays the character. I just didn't mind her. I don't want to say I love her, but I feel like I'm being forced to because I've been told to hate her, and when I'm told to hate someone, I usually end up loving them. And I'm so sorry I keep saying her instead of them. I love them. But the thing, I do, but I love them.
But this is the thing. There's real, actual development of a character. Like
I think so, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they show us that they know how to do this. Yes. Che has...
Shanaz is on another planet right now. She's like, I'm going to gay bash.
Go ahead. Tell us. Tell us why.
I will is... go as far to say I just rewatched the first episode. I mean, the first season. And I was watching it and I was like, wait a minute. Why do I hate this show again? This is delightful. And then comes Che. And I will say that I believe Che ruined the show.
I think Che ruined season one.
For sure, yes.
Yes.
Because season two is very bad and not because of Che, but in season one,
the comedy concert was egregious.
The comedy and the full comedy, we were there for the entire concert. Like we were there for it. And
it's
not
the
only the
full scene I've ever seen on the show.
And another full scene of Che singing. I forget the song and I don't think you wrote it down. But singing an entire song.
Oh, you're right.
Like, what?
I forgot about that completely.
What?
I forgot.
And thank God for fast forward because I've already seen it, but I couldn't believe I had sat through that. And they made us sit through this.
I started watching in season two after already knowing that the whole world hated Che. When I went back and watched more season one, I totally understand why you and millions of people think that they ruined season one of that show. But I think it was because the character was too front burner. You know what I mean? Like it was, so much revolved around Che that it was almost like when you're dipping your toe back into, you know, seeing these characters again, obviously you want to introduce new ones. And she was really polarizing right away and took a beloved character and just turned her on her ear. Well, turned her in every way, actually.
Yeah, well.
and Miranda was already obsessed with them, so we were almost like being shown through the eyes of Miranda, like how obsessed Miranda was with them, so we had to then be obsessed with them too, and it was like, no, please.
Well, and like, I remember the first scene is like Che, Bobby Lee, and Carrie doing the podcast, and it was just like, Che explaining what sexuality was to everyone and being like, here's every like term that every liberal person uses that conservative people hate. Like that's like what it was. And I was just like, I just like remember like sinking lower into my chair every time.
Step your pussy up.
The comedy concert was like the same thing of like, let me preach to you what non-binary and or like being queer is. And it's like, no, like every human being that's watching this show is queer. Like, don't, like, you don't need to say this to us.
Right.
Like, you don't need to tell us this. But what I will say is in season two, like, Che, as much as there are annoying storylines with Che actually has, like, a story arc. Che actually gets, like, scene work with them that, like, builds their character to, like, them having different emotions, not just being a robotic thing that then, like, gets an epiphany and is like, oh, never mind. The problem that I had at the beginning of this episode is fixed now because I've decided that it is.
But it's like, too much Che. Who is Che to the show? Because Che is a lover on the show, a friend on the show, a co-worker on the show.
Is Che a housewife or a friend of? We don't know.
Yes.
A love interest.
We can't have it all. And we shouldn't follow a story of a lover because we didn't follow a story of a lover in Sex and the City. I'm sorry. And I know this is a different show. We didn't follow Aiden at the furniture store or whatever. Like, we didn't follow that. And why are we following Che with Tony Danza or whatever? Like, we, like, who cares?
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on Tony Danza. Like, the whole pilot thing was just... When that producer was like, because Che is not a comic and not an actor. I was like, two, what? It just is so, again, like, now it's ruined because Miranda, like, the stupidest scene of Miranda where she's like, oh, that's the other thing with Miranda. Everything was like, they tried to do physical comedy in every scene and it never worked once.
We're going to talk about Miranda in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Danza of it all, I thought that was one of the few brilliant things was that they were having Tony Danza,
which was hilarious,
as the dad, they were making her basically, they were making Che change their race to be on the sitcom, which I thought was hilarious. Like,
no longer Mexican,
now they're Italian. I was like, this is funny, and felt as a producer like it felt sort of maybe not real, but real.
Kidding me?
It was great. I thought it was great. And just him in general, because he's Tony Danza. He's the boss. That's why.
Well, and that's what's funny is that it's like, oh, yeah, you're doing a pilot with Tony Danza. Like, it's fun. I don't know. It just like made sense. And Miranda was like, Tony Danza's coming right at me. Like, that was funny. Like, but there were funny parts.
Glimmers. All glimmers.
Glimmers. And now you are more knowledgeable in the business than me, especially. But I feel like Che was putting so much into a pilot, which isn't.
Yeah, which like you, yeah, yes. Like, you kiss that goodbye. Like,
I was like, Che, what are you doing? That's not realistic, right? With buying apartments and moving and doing all this.
Quitting your job? Absolutely not. No.
No, right? Okay. No. Not until things are picked up or checks are cleared.
Yeah, and it took forever.
Shanaz, I'm going to tell you something about television right now. This is what happens. You do a pilot. You pray that it gets picked up. It gets picked up. Then you shoot a first season. You pray that they even air it. Then it airs. You pray that people watch it. Then maybe people watch it. Then you pray that it gets renewed for a second season. And then maybe it gets renewed for a second season. And then you pray that you actually shoot the second season. Watch, rinse, repeat that all over again for the rest of your life. That's what mine and Dominic's lives are.
There's a lot of prayer involved here. Much prayer.
Yeah, praying to our Lord and Savior, Ryan Murphy.
Yes.
since we're speaking about Che, I want to talk about the most screwed over character between the series, which is Miranda. Every ounce of ambition and aspiration and even the rare glimpse of common sense in this character just went out the window, and she's just a boob. That's what her character is.
She is
literally
a boob.
And figuratively just a boob. Like, what were they, what in the Lucille Ball did they think they were doing with this character? I admired that she realized her own sexuality. I think that that's not an uncommon storyline. I just think the way she handled it is so bizarre. And the scene, I don't know. Maybe I haven't talked to enough gay female friends about this, but the strap-on scene is supposed to be funny and it's unbearable. It's so, I was embarrassed watching it. Like, I just couldn't believe it. I don't know why. Again, it was like the line on the show between like, this is ridiculous, oh my God, to this is just ridiculous, it was the latter for me.
Is it bad that that's the least of my worries? That scene was my worries.
Yeah. No.
I could care less about it. That's the thing, is like, that to me was like, made sense comparatively.
I think it makes sense, because if it was me in that position, like having to, you know, late in life lesbian, they say, getting a divorce or going through a divorce and then being now with someone not cis male and wearing a strap on, I think I'd probably stand there awkwardly too. Like,
same.
Okay,
I'd be like, what's happening?
Now, what happens now? Like,
she is unrecognizable from the character that she played on Sex and the
City. Perfect. She is unrecognizable. Like, they're so, and by the way, before we forget about him, this writing staff has turned Steve into Patrick from SpongeBob. He is just like, Miranda? Like every, what on earth has happened to this character? He was always the one to me where it's like, oh, I hate Big, I hate Mikhail Baryshnikov, I hate blah, 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 but there's always Steve. And Steve was the Brooklyn guy and the normal guy and the cute guy. And now he's like, like he's a bumbling idiot. He and Miranda belong together now more than ever, because they're both boobs. They're like the Mertzes from I Love Lucy. They're not even funny enough to be the Ricardos.
It's crazy. And like, so crazy.
Right. And I think a woman in her 50s, they're in their 50s, I believe, right? Mid to late 50s. I'm in my mid 40s. So I think you can go gaga over, you can have crushes, you can go gaga. But I think when you're a woman of a particular age and a professional, and well, I don't know what happens with that too. We'll get to that, I guess. And you're a professional and you have a child. To see this character just off and move for someone that they basically just met, it was so wild to me. Like, and wild to her character, not just wild to her character, but wild for anyone's character to do something like that. I thought, like, what are they doing?
Especially someone who's so rich. She's always like, she's like robbing Peter to pay Paul with these like different apartments. I'm like, Miranda, go get your own apartment. You've been a lawyer for 30 years.
I mean, literally 30 years.
Go rent an apartment for $3,000 a month.
Right, do you know what I mean? Carrie sure ain't going to rent to you.
Yeah, like, just go rent an apartment. When they are in that new apartment with the IKEA furniture that Carrie then uses as an Airbnb to like, slash like fuck pad. Mm-hmm. Like, when they're in that apartment and Miranda's trying to sleep and Che and the friends are all like smoking bongs like in the living room. Me, a 33-year-old that doesn't have two pennies to run together, I would be out of there yesterday. I would have been like, bye. Like, and then Miranda's like, I have to wake up in 2 hours. Like, the fact that she just like goes and like withstands torture for like episodes upon episodes where she's like, I don't have a home. It's like, go get an apartment. It's ridiculous. So annoying.
Or go to the Waldorf and stay there for a year. Right. You know what I mean? Go to the Plaza for fuck's sake.
Yes. Go anywhere. Like, and then she goes back to her old house, stops and buys pancakes and pumpkins, and then carves pumpkins before Brady wakes up. I'm like, who are you?
Half of the second episode should have been them at the Met Gala. Just like,
at least. How did we not get there? Yeah. How would you even talk about it? And also, whatever the legalese or whatever, they didn't call it the Met Gala. They called it the Met Ball the whole time, if I'm not mistaken.
And if it is like, oh, we can't rent out the Met to like we don't have $2 million to
spend 1 hour.
No, but it's so expensive to do. Let's just live in reality for 5 seconds. All they did the whole time was say, we don't even get to walk up the stairs. We go through a separate entrance. We are not even a part of the Met Gala that you think that you are. So like, rent out a random ballroom and pretend like it's part of the Met that like we don't get to see.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even that expensive to do. I get if they're like, we don't have $3 million to pay Anna Wintour to go to the Met. Like, I get that.
A Kardashian might show up.
Yeah. And then have celebrities there instead of it being like, I have to like shoehorn this whole episode around the fact that I want to sell Sam Smith a painting. The country house in Virginia, I knew we were never seeing, which is so sad because what they should have done was like paid off all of the nostalgia of when she went up to his like upstate home and was like miserable and there was no air conditioning. There was so much of that nostalgia that we could have paid off that I would have actually liked to have seen. That they just threw in the garbage.
And you know what? Then her buying this beautiful apartment, this beautiful big apartment that has all the room for like him and his kids or whatever she was saying, it would have made more sense because what if she went to the country house and it was like super cramped and like they were sharing rooms or something like that. And she'd be like, oh, like I'm about to step it up and buy this gorgeous house for all of us. You know, it would have made a little bit more sense to me, but we didn't get that.
They always have all the pieces right there to connect, and then they just don't do it. It's so frustrating. Like, watching it back in preparation for this, I was so frustrated about how obvious all these moves were that they then didn't pay off. Like, when Miranda, again, perfect scene, Miranda at the beach when she loses her phone. Perfect scene. Beautiful. Uh-huh.
Beautiful. Yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah, that was a good scene.
Like, perfect scene. Then she meets Che's husband. And, like, right. We don't even really get... That should have been way more of a fight that, like...
Right.
You didn't tell me you were married. Like, I don't know anything about you. But then, like, they just drop it. Like, it doesn't then become a thing of, like, now we need to get to know each other better. They right. just... Miranda's just like, I don't know anything about you. And that's the end of the storyline.
I kept thinking they were going to break up. I'm like, please, is this the scene? Is this yes, the yeah, scene? Please.
Oh, and then, too, it's like, again, it has to be, like, this weird physical comedy that never works. Where Miranda's like, I have a Charlie horse while we're trying to have a threesome. And it's like, stop. Like, it just
was,
say
that was episode four that you made us watch at yes. my
I watched this with you at your house. And I put a blanket over my
not,
hand.
I'm being honest with you, that television's not been on since then. I'm not even joking. I don't even know if it will work. I'm so traumatized by the memory of that fucking couch breaking in that scene and them laughing at it wildly. It's so dumb.
But then this other thing where Miranda then says, am I a lesbian? Like, what is my sexuality? A great storyline for her to have for five episodes. Like, yes. Let her just explore her sexuality and be like, what? I have no idea who I am.
I love everything about my life is different.
And then she meets that woman who I love that actress, by the way. I think she's great in everything she does. Love her. She meets this woman. She's like, I'm obsessed with this woman. And then within the same episode, within like the next three scenes, she's then like, wah, wah, this woman's like gross. And then she never revisits the conversation.
See, but it's I love like, that. I love the kitty litter lady. And then I wanted more of those, like date kitty litter lady, date, I don't know, lady with two dogs.
I want her to go on three dates with this woman and realize her sexuality. Like, I want her to then come back to her apartment like three episodes later and be like, oh, this woman's disgusting. I need to leave her immediately.
We have some bigger fish that we haven't fried yet. Before we do, I just have a couple of hot takes that I don't think we should spend too much time on. Mario Cantone's character, Anthony, they have turned Mario Cantone into Gilbert Gottfried. Like, yeah. I don't even understand. Stop looking at my ass. It's like, what are we doing here?
R.I.P. R.I.P.
It's like beyond a gay stereotype. Like, who? I know there are queens in that writer's room. What the fuck is going on? Mario Cantone is a brilliantly funny comedian and actor, and the way he's being used here is so feels antithetical to whatever the mission of the show is supposed to be. It's not a good character.
I love that also too, halfway through they were just like, oh, he should like have a storyline, and they just like make up a storyline for him.
Right.
Seema is the new Samantha. Yeah. Like, I love Seema. I have zero problems with Seema at anything Seema's done on the show. She has zero flaws.
Yes, I agree. I love Seema. The storyline with Seema telling Carrie off, pretty much, not, you know, in love Seema's it. Way, was one of Real the realest conflict. Scenes. And this would have been the perfect scene for Carrie to address the Samantha fallout. Because she could have said, you know what, Seema, I don't want to have the relationship with you, or I don't want to have a fallout with you like I had with my friend Samantha. Because this is exactly what happened with me and Sam, and I don't want to do that with you, like, moving forward. And then I think it would have addressed it and got rid of a lot of those questions that we kind of have in our head about why her and Sam. I mean, I know they explained some of it very, like, quickly, but they didn't explain Carrie's.
Not enough for the cameo to make sense. We just like, how did we get to this part? I loved seeing Kim Cattrall. It was a wonderful 70 plus seconds or whatever, but how did we get here? Where were those three missing? They don't even need to be scenes. You've been handling it with outside conversations and text messages for a year. We needed at least one more of those to explain how the fuck they're being friendly now. It was so weird.
I think I want to call her LVP so bad every single time, but I know it's LTW. LVW. Yeah, I'm going to call her LVP every
time. She is LVP, so LVP, you can just call her that.
LTW, I loved her as Charlotte's friend, like mom friend, because that is so real. Like the mom friend that's like so cool and super maybe richer than Charlotte or whatever. And so like unattainable, like somebody you really, really want to be friends with. Like I loved that whole.
Seema's blended perfectly into the group of the
best
OG,
of the new
of the OG housewives. Of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seema's blended in. It's like LTW can do the same thing. Like, why am I not seeing? And it's funny that it's the two black characters on the show that are not one of them getting actually a lot of dimension and one of them getting nothing. Like, Naya's not even on the show, basically.
It's Naya's inclusion not even is there. So but it's bizarre because she's like in it, but not.
But they both aren't attached to their way into the show like Seema and Carrie still are attached
right.
to each other.
Right.
Which is like so sad to me.
She's lonely.
And like there are funny yeah. parts to this show. That's the saddest part. Is like mm-hmm. there are funny parts. Like when the kids are strapping Charlotte into her Met Gala dress, like that's funny. And Lily yeah, has that her is, that foot was up on her mom's back. Like, that's fun. Like, there are funny. They do have a few. The interns that hate Miranda are like, wow, aren't you just perfect, Miranda? And she goes, no, I'm actually a sexually confused alcoholic in the midst of a divorce. Like, that is, like, on paper, the funniest joke I've ever heard in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. You're like, yowza, and they run away. Like, that's fucking funny. Remember the storyline where LTW's husband, like, can't get a taxi? And then yes. they just like, yes. that doesn't never do any, like, which again, like in theory could be like a great storyline that then is showing that like, even though Black people have so much money, it's like, there's still like racism that happens in the world every day. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. like there's so many ways to tell that story that then just turns into like, and then his mother saw him like womp womp.
Well, and the mother-in-law does say something like kind of gives like a Michelle Obama, yeah, like when they go low, you know, we go high kind of thing.
That's not the point of the,
but yeah, I do wish, and I know there are some Black writers in the room there, but yeah, I wish there was a little more to that as well. Like you said, like more to that storyline.
They made the scene where he doesn't get a taxi. Like no one, you know what I mean? It's like, so right. like follow that up with like right. a real conversation about it. There's always like hijinks they have to pull that like no one cares about. Like no one remembered to like said, I didn't send out the invites to our anniversary dinner. So no one shows up. Like, right. why? For what? Like, for what is that a plot point of the story? Again, I could be getting more resolution on the back end of the episode if I don't have to explain that in scene work.
Right.
She then announces that her husband is going to run for office. And he's like, I am. And you never then see them talk about it ever again until he's like about to like do a fundraiser. Right. She decides for him that he's going to do this. He's not upset. You don't find out that he's like nervous. You never hear them talk about it until like it's time for him to then like do a fundraiser for him being like campaigning.
I had to look up what that
was. It makes no sense. Was that done? It makes absolutely no sense. And then when he's about to do that campaign, she then goes, I'm pregnant.
Right. Oh, it was so sad too. Good Lord.
But it's just like,
and that was another rushed storyline. Yes. Like, that could have been a real like, let's really get into it.
Four episode.
They wrapped it up with
one. What are my options here? Like, let's talk about the pro-choice of it all. Like
Samantha's breast cancer. It should have been handled with the same pace. You know what I mean? And instead it was just one bathroom conversation at a party being hosted by a Michelin star chef. I would like to speak about Carrie Bradshaw. I felt mostly at least in tone, she was the same person that she was on Sex and the City. Correct. I do think that the writers failed her character in similar ways that they failed all of them, you know, where they were just becoming, the storylines are rushed. There's a little more caricature than character from time to time. But this whole notion in the finale that she
is going to wait for 5 years.
Wait for 5 years. It has to be said. This cast is so old, they will not all be here in 5 years. What the fuck are you thinking? What are you thinking?
And again, like, you're rich. Like, you go, you don't have a job also.
Just move, you, bitch. Right. Just move.
Go down there for a week on and a week off and just go down to Virginia and be with him.
We have a podcast. You know how many different cities we've done these podcasts from, for God's sakes?
Dominic, you forget that she no longer has a podcast because she wouldn't read vaginal.
Thank about you, like Chris. I forgot about
vaginal
that.
Douche.
And she shouldn't.
And it tanked the podcast company.
Right.
The entire podcast company went under because she didn't read a douche commercial.
That woman was so mad too.
It was a vaginal wellness product. Mad.
She's like, I hope you're happy. I loved it. Yes. It was beautiful.
That made no sense. And I was like, well, she shouldn't, without researching. It was like a it said a I wrote it down. It said a vaginal odor suppository, but like vaginal, it was a vaginal wellness product. But like, I agree with her. Like, if you don't know what that is, and does
correct, but
all vaginas don't need that. So, but they didn't talk about that.
Correct, but that doesn't make that doesn't make an entire company go underwater because she doesn't read it one time in her podcast. Anyway, I'm moving right past that because we can't even unpack it.
They can be used for other things. I want to say those. They can be put in the dirt of a plant. It will help it. They can be grated over French fries. There are many other things.
But it's crazy that, yeah, that she's like, I'm just going to wait. Like, instead of actually having to, like, care about another person, she's just like, well, it's actually perfectly Carrie is what it is that she's just like, okay, I'll just wait here for 5 years and just hope that you, like, change your mind instead of, like, going down to Virginia to live with him.
Did she say okay? Because I blanked out. I honestly, like.
Yeah, she's waiting. She bought the apartment.
Basically,
and she's just,
yeah.
Like,
bought the apartment.
Wait.
Well, she said she has no expectations, so it's sort of nebulous, but...
Well, you know what they're going to do is that they're going to pretend... They're going to try to be in an open relationship. That's going to be episode one of season three. They're going to be in an open relationship, and then that's going to be, like, a story arc, is that Carrie and Aiden are trying to make a modern relationship work, and then they obviously can't.
I think that we need to pitch soon, but I do want to say one thing, that...
Okay.
Harry Goldenblatt, played by... Evan Handler, is to me at this point without question the hottest male on the show, and I want to point out that he's 62, and that's all I wanted to say. I think he looks great. I think his glow up between series is the best of any of them.
Yeah,
and I, you know,
on
his
second watch we saw his penis. Yeah, did you see it?
I know.
I miss that.
I think he's a snack now. I really do. I didn't on the old series, but I do.
Oh, I did.
Think that now. I was just looking at those defined pecs in that long sleeve tee when Charlotte was yelling at him in the finale. And I'm like, was Evan Handler always hot? Because he's sort of hot now.
No,
I mean,
I
not even
he
sort
knew.
Of. He's like, he's full hot now.
Yeah, body be banging. Which, P.S., yeah. I'm sorry. I have to ride for my boy Steve. When Steve was punching that punching bag, I was like feeling things.
Okay, honestly, Steve isn't bad. I don't think. I never saw it for him and Miranda, though, I will say. Yes. So I wasn't upset about the divorce, really. Always saw that coming.
They turned him into Sloth from the Goonies. He's literally like
it's
so
bad.
Insufferable.
It's so bad. And this is what's really sad is like they, even though, yes, they're both cartoon characters now, the scene of them screaming at each other was great.
Was excellent.
Give you that.
When
yep,
he's like,
that was a
you never wanted this. He's like, you never wanted this. You never even wanted to be with me. You never wanted to have a kid. Like, mm-hmm. It was an incredible
It shook
scene.
Me. It shook
yes.
me.
Yes.
Definitely.
It was,
yeah.
And that's what I want the show to be. Like,
yes,
I want them to
too.
Be dealing with their real lives. Not, yes, I want them to flit around and be stupid and whatever. But then I do want there to be drama where then they have to deal with the repercussions of their actions. And like... That scene was great, and they do have great. It in them to write good scenes. They just choose not to every time.
And that's what we right. should demand. We shouldn't demand these. We shouldn't like be grateful for these Samantha crumbs that we're getting. We should demand these amazing, wonderful scenes like the Steve and Miranda and the Seema and Carrie. Like those types of scenes make the show great, or could make the show great if we had more of that instead of these little glimmers, these little glistenings, these little crumbs that we're getting. It's not fair.
And before we pitch, I'll just say, like, why did Naya get a divorce on FaceTime? She, like, the disservice
I
that
had
they
to
put
rewatch
her through.
To understand it even, because at first I was like, I don't understand why she's even getting a divorce.
It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe the mission statement of the show is like, you know, even aspirational accomplished people are people that don't make a single good decision in any 3 month period. Because it's like you look at the behavior of everyone on the show and you're just like, how did they get these jobs? Like, how are you all rich when you're all so dumb? Best dressed, by the way, for the season, LTW for me. I don't know if we're
because oh,
we should talk
oh.
about it.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, like beyond otherworldly yes. beautiful. You could put yes. her in a dish rag, blah, blah, blah. That that hat, when she was crossing Park Avenue to get to the Met. I drew yeah. breath. I was like, those moments were what the old series was like regularly, you know, like that. It was, yes. I, it just, the way it made you feel felt like the old city was great.
I know you want to wrap up, but should we talk fashion since you said fashion?
Yeah, sure.
Carrie's coats were to die for.
They were.
Okay, you know I like to cosplay, so I did wear a little Carrie outfit.
Oh, yeah. Shanaz.
I tried to do Carrie. Wait, I was so hot, though, I couldn't. But she's been doing a lot of, like, layering on top of, like flannels.
Yes, this is so Carrie. It's, like multiple flannels together.
Like either
yes.
Flannels on top of flannels with, like, a big skirt. You can't tell, but I'm wearing
that. That is because.
Shanaz, wait, I have to take a photo. I'm screaming.
And like hair, like a sister wives hair.
I've said on this podcast recently, I don't understand why, but in every scene, Carrie Bradshaw is dressed as a colonial woman in a sanitarium. Like that's just it.
And I love it. I love it.
It's a look. It's definitely.
Do we think that they're doing what they used to do, which is like everything had to be something that actually happened? Because on the Sex and the City, it was like in the writer's room, it was like, if they wrote something in the script, it had to be something that had happened to someone that they knew.
Oh, right. Like one of the writers.
Do we think that like that's, or is that also what's happening here?
Probably because we have to do our research. Like I said, like with everything that happens in the show, they want us to like, I don't know, listen to the podcast about it to understand the show better.
But I don't need to, no.
No.
All right, should we get to the pitches?
We have to pitch. Yeah, this has been a mouthful, and we have not even started our actual jobs yet.
And just like that, we're pitching.
I can't. I'm...
Okay.
I'm angry.
HBO has a problem, and it happened on True Blood. It's happened on other shows. You have the show that starts out with these insular characters and it explodes into like all these different storylines of these different people, all these different this and that and this family and then this character and then Anthony and then blah, blah, blah. And then LTW's kids and then this. And it's too much to track. They can't even get a normal storyline across the fucking finish line. They have way too much on their hands. And the other problem is that they're always dangling like this person's going to come back to the show. Aiden, Samantha, it's always something new. This person's going to come back. They have made 3 separate references to Bravo on this season of this show. In an unprecedented move, I am going to volunteer that the greatest minds in reality television, 2 of which being myself and Dominic, head up a writer's room to write the 3rd season of In Just Like That. We are going to overhaul the model that they use to make this show. It is going to be modeled after The Real Housewives. And this is why. There needs to be all cast events. The Halloween party, an all cast. Nothing happened. We would have been fired if that was the all cast that I presented on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. There needs to be conflict. Characters need to get into fights. People need to speak to each other in scenes and not just realize that this is something that they should do. There are going to be housewives. There are going to be friends of. Those people are going to stay in their lanes. Their roles are going to be real. And Anthony is going to be of service to Charlotte's storyline. They are not going to have their own storyline of how a humongous man with a huge penis bangs him and he's scared, blah, blah, blah. None of that matters. We need these characters to speak to each other and we need overarching storylines on the show. None of this one episode bullshit thing. There's going to be storylines that we fulfill throughout the season. That is what everyone wants on this TV show. They don't want this one off. I fucked this guy with a penis pump and then I used a vibrator and he's upset. So then that's over. We are going to reformat the show to be and again, the show looks the same. It operates the same, but it is just at these all casts, like Lily singing her song should have been an all cast. Why did they not rent out a hall for Lily to perform? I actually have a list of all the all casts that I think that they should have, that he would have had in season 2. Lily's song performance, the Wexley's anniversary party, the Halloween party, LTW's MoMA film event. Why were none of the other women there?
Right.
Right.
Carrie's WidowCon speech, the Wexley fundraiser at Charlotte's house. That was an all cast. That was a proper all cast. However, did not pay off. The Last Supper, the season finale was great. And they even used a Bravo mechanism where everyone goes around the table and volunteers something about themselves. That's on every Bravo show. And my pitch is that reality television producers are going to take over the show and write a way better show than these fucking people that are still writing a 90s version of In Sex and the City could ever do. And that is my pitch.
I have to add something to your pitch. What I think you should do is not just save it with the third season. You may want to just reshoot the second season. Just redo it, because there's a list of scenes. It's like season two of the show needs its own Patreon. You just listed 10 scenes that we needed to fill the holes that we haven't seen. Just shoot it again.
You're right.
And then do season three. Don't adjust your pitch. It's the same pitch. I'm not trying
to. It's yes.
Listing all those scenes, it's like, did they do this on purpose? Is there going to be a hidden season within a season where we get to see all these scenes?
But like those were all things where all of those people should have shown up to and like all participated and talked about their own personal storylines.
Right.
And none of that happened. Instead, it was like Charlotte yelling at like a like clothes girl at a store about the dress, and like LTW and her husband like yelling in her closet.
I think this is a great pitch. This is a hard pitch to follow.
This is a very good pitch.
I'm not adjusting my pitch, but I do think that the obvious tips to reality television on this season mean that they want that input. To be honest with you, I think that's a really good pitch. I feel like you've already won, but I'm here to give you something, Shanaz and listeners, that could be slightly more ridiculous than Chris's very measured suggestion. You know, part of the problem with And Just Like That is that these are characters we know well. The show's been off the air for 20 years, and the episodes have been watched and rewatched and thrice rewatched. We know them very well. As much as we're shitting on the writers here, we won't pretend that that's an easy job where you're going to have to match these characters that are members of people's families at this point. Like, you know them that well. I think it's impossible to do it. I think they've proven it's almost impossible to do it with the same actors. When we're missing 20 years of story, you know what I mean? 15, 20 years of what happened? How did we get here? It's just, it's a lot. And you sort of feel like you're picking up where you left off in a certain way, and you can't be. You're fucked on this project no matter what. If you're in the writer's room, there's always going to be a fixing famous people. If not us, the other 1,000 podcasts where people are shitting on And Just Like That. So I think that what you need to do is you have to remove some of the familiarity to catch some of the magic back. And I think that that means aging up and recasting the entire show.
Oh my
God. Same characters. But I'm talking about Helen Mirren as Carrie Bradshaw.
You're so stupid.
I'm talking about Carol Burnett as Cynthia Nixon. I'm talking about James Cromwell as Aiden. I'm talking about Charlotte being portrayed by Rita Moreno. That's what I'm talking about.
You did this pitch already.
I am talking about Judi Dench playing Bitsy Von Muffling.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Dominic Pupa playing Che Diaz. This is the recast and the age up I am looking for to save the show. Oh, one last one. Academy Award nominee Shore Agdashloo to play Seema. And if you don't know who Shore is, Google her. Google her now. Enchanting.
Fellow Iranian.
I have one part of my pitch that I completely forgot to say.
Yeah.
May I proceed?
You may.
The first episode of the third season will be Samantha's funeral. She can't come back. We can't do this anymore of like, I'm hanging. That was supposed to be the first thing I said, and I completely I went into a rage blackout and forgot it. That's the first episode of season three, is that Samantha's dead, and they all go to her funeral, and it causes them all to have to reevaluate their lives. And then we just course correct the whole show back on track into what we want it to be. And it's, we put to rest the like, will Samantha come back? Will Samantha do this? Like, are we going to get this? And that all that shit is done.
Wow.
That puts that all to rest. I mean, the dangling carrots are done. I'm so over them. And by doing that, you show your audience that you mean business.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
I like both of your pitches though. Like, I actually like a, like, let's, instead of going with these characters, let's like go, I don't know, 30 more years in the future.
Well, 15.
I like the idea, but I think, but I am intrigued by a Housewives version because I think this is very much like, these are the Real Housewives. These are the friends of. Let's do kind of, let's bring back the narration of the show like it was in the original show. I think that's missing.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking, like, why do we never hear what they're feeling? And it's because Carrie narrated everything. Yes. Carrie would tell us how they felt every episode of the show.
Right.
Yes. I think we're missing that. I think that could be something that they need to, they we really need that because there is a lot of like silence in between scenes.
Yes. It's the show is so quiet.
I mean, even at this point, I'm voting for Chris's, and not the least of which.
Yeah, I'll vote for Chris's.
Chris, you are the winner. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I knew I was going to win this one because it's just so.
When you said I'd pitched this before, I was like, no, I haven't. And then I realized that I did 10 episodes make a similar pitch to save Marvel. I'm sure whatever I said was nonsense. Like I wanted Dick Van Dyke to play Iron Man or some shit
was,
like that.
It was basically the same people. Actually.
But you're right.
Was Judi Dench in it? Who was Judi
Dench? Of course.
Judi Dench is always in it.
Judi's our queen. Dominic, if either of us were on a TV show and this was the way that the storylines were handled, we wouldn't be out of a job. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
You are correct. Yes.
Like, it's so mishandled that I was like, how do I fix this? And it was like every storyline, I'm like, I have a better version of how this would end. Yeah.
They're a scripted show, so they don't have parameters on what they're allowed to do. At least when you're doing a reality show, you are to a certain extent bound to the confines of what actual reality is.
Yeah.
When you are making shit up, you can do all that and make it even more exciting. So why isn't it?
I'm leaving you with this scene. When Aiden and Carrie are in Che's Airbnb and Che asks them, why didn't this work out the first time? The laziest writing I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, Shanaz, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Fixing Famous People Patreon.
Yes.
Which we're hoping to do very soon.
Yeah. If you do a Patreon chat, maybe I'll be on there. But otherwise, you can't really find me. My social media is on private.
You're a private citizen.
I'm a private citizen. I'm a concerned citizen. I'm a concerned citizen about this. And I might make a citizen's arrest next time I see. If I see Michael Patrick King, I might make a citizen's arrest about this show.
Dominic, where can people find you?
You can find me at Dominary.com. I forgot. My
okay? In it. We're not okay. Like, we're not okay after this.
Thanks, Chris. You can find me at my website, Dominary.com, which links you to all my socials at Dominic Pupa. And Chris, I ask every week, and sometimes I forget the answer, where can people find me?
You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Write a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. I wish you both well, and as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.